You wanna? It's your place. So you kick it off.
Well, since it's my apartment, Keith.
This is. This is But You're Wrong, almost live in Quincy/Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Bordella.
And welcome to the But You're Wrong podcast, 100th episode, Keith.
No, this isn't the 100th episode.
Cut that out. This is not the 100th episode. I thought, tonight.
Tonight's the 100th episode, but we're recording this beforehand because why not? We have the time.
Yeah, well...
And what else are we going to do? We're going to talk anyway.
That's true. We are just going to sit here and be idiots, so we might as well record being idiots.
So if you hear an animal in the background, it's Cosmo, who's kind of the mascot of the show.
You've heard him, if you've listened to our episodes before, you've probably heard him snoring or walking around a little bit. And we've taken steps to make sure he's not too disruptive.
That makes it sound like we did something terrible to him. We hit a toy, basically, is all we did.
I also took his collar off. So, he doesn't rattle around.
Okay, alright, fair enough.
Now, by the way we're describing it, you'd think it was like a fucking St. Bernard or something, but it is a 20-pound Boston Terrier.
Yes. He doesn't bark, he just makes a shitload of noise.
Yeah, he snorts a lot. He sounds like a fucking pig.
Yeah, he does snort a lot. So I think this is the first time we're recording at your place for an actual episode since the beginning.
Since the very beginning, yeah.
Because we tried one point, and I don't think that worked out. Did we end up actually recording I feel like we didn't end up actually recording anything that weekend. Because that was the weekend that I was meeting family in the Cape, and I only, like, saw you for, like, maybe half a day or a day and a half or something.
Yeah, so, no, it was
I think that was the last time I was up here.
Yeah, that might have been, was that, like, August or something?
Yeah.
And then when you were here the end of May, beginning of June... last year, we did record,
and that's the start of the show.
Yeah, so almost exactly 1 year ago.
Whenever this goes up,
it's close.
I mean, this will go up soon from when we're recording it, but Cosmo decides to lay down on a chair, and
that's his chair.
Oh, that is
his chair.
Does anybody else sit in that chair?
No. Just him, pretty much.
I remember somebody who once sat in that chair, and they were a douchebag.
The girl?
No, the guy that was with him.
Oh, that guy?
Yeah.
I don't even remember if he was a douchebag. He was just a weirdo.
Well, he was kind of a douche to me about Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah, that's
And
right.
He was like, I don't want to spoil anything.
He tried to upstage you?
Yeah, he was like, I'm way ahead, so I don't want to spoil anything for you. I was like, no, I'm caught up. Well, I just, I don't want to say too much. And I'm like, just tell me the last fucking episode that you saw, and I'll tell you if I also saw that episode. But he would have none of it.
No, he didn't have it. I know how you Doctor Who people get all uppity about your Doctor Who.
I don't get that uppity about Doctor Who. I just don't like it when somebody's an asshole.
I understand. I haven't gotten into it, so...
Out of all the things to showboat on, too, Doctor Who really isn't necessarily the best thing to showboat on.
No. Yeah, well... People love to showboat. People like to showboat on their, knowledge of any sort of movie or pop culture thing. It's terrible. Yeah.
Which is kind of why we do the show.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, why else would I do this except to show how much I know about Star Wars or Indiana Jones?
Yeah. I mean, besides the fact that it's fun.
Sometimes. I don't know. Star Wars is kind of like herpes. It just doesn't go away.
No, I meant the show is fun, not...
Oh, yeah, sometimes.
You're like, oh, the show's fun sometimes. Yeah, if this is your first episode, I apologize, because now you're not going to listen to any of the other ones.
One of the hosts just sits there naysaying it the entire time because he's a fucking dickhead.
I don't think this is a good idea.
Yeah, no, you probably shouldn't be listening to this show.
After every joke he makes, he goes, you should cut that part out.
Well, I definitely do that more than you. You should cut that.
But then there's a lot of times where you say something and I'm like, do you want me to leave that in? And you're like, eh, might not.
Yeah. Oh, I'm talking about masturbating, and my parents were listening to the episode the other day, and do you want me to cut that out? Nah, I don't really care.
Nah, I mean, they know I probably jerked it, so it's good.
I mean, I would hope they would know, because otherwise they're pretty stupid.
I mean, they probably just assume, they just don't think about it.
That's probably true. I mean, I don't want to think about my... Well, I don't have kids, but other than the dog. And I don't think he can jerk. You know, pause.
Yeah. It just wouldn't work.
I don't think. No thumb.
Yeah, no thumb. Thumb is key for that.
Yeah, you really need to just take a, you know, wrap your hand around it.
I mean, he would have to use both paws, really, is the thing.
Yeah. That'd be tough. Not for me.
You don't want to use both your
Can dogs. You imagine just, like, taking both your hands and... The first time I did kind of, like, an over-the-top motion with my fingers and, like it was more like I put, like, a little baseball cap on my dick and I just kind of went, like, up and down like that. I don't know why, like, because I didn't know how to jerk off yet, but I was like, you know what, this is cool, like, this feels good, and then... You know, and then you come and you're like, oh my god,
I'm dying, somebody help me.
And then, I don't know, and then like the second time I did it, I was like, I can come up with a better way of doing this. And then I just instinctively...
you're like Da Vinci, trying to come up with better ways to do stuff, and you had all these notebooks.
Yeah.
Filled with just different ways that you tried to jerk off.
I just, something in my head just said, Greg, just slide your hand down to the right a little bit and just grip it. Just take a hold of it and just you're, pound.
You're trying to do it the other way.
Like I did.
From the top, and then all of a sudden you're just like, there has to be a better way.
Yeah, and I was like, this, you know, yeah, man cannot go on like this. There's gotta be an easier way. And there is, the normal way. The way everyone else has been doing it for thousands of years.
Do you think anybody else does the...
I don't know. I bet there's some weirdo out there that prefers doing it like that, like, because you can, like, get your fingers, like, on the bottom of it.
Well, maybe just,
like,
he...
A little massage while you're doing it, you know?
I don't know if you want to leave this part in, but when you were doing it from the top, did you still... Come?
No, see, the first time I did it, nothing came out. I got the sensation of orgasming, but nothing, like, came out into my hand or anything. Because
I was going to say, that was
just, like, a handful
that would hit your hand.
No, did anything come out the first time you did it?
I don't know. I think I realized that, like that kind of motion felt good, but I don't...
See, the first time I did, nothing came out. But I got the feeling, and I was like, whoa, what is that? Like, I didn't even know why I started doing it. And then...
Well, because I think there's something in our biology from, like, caveman days where we're like, this feels good.
Like, the thing sliding up and down on your dick shaft feels good.
This motion feels good, so I will...
Yeah. So, I don't know, and then... And then the second time I was like, all right, you know, cause you wait. You don't do it again right away cause you're like, man, this is wild. Like, I don't want to waste this or anything.
Like, you think you only have a certain amount.
Right. You're like, man, like, what if it doesn't happen again? So then, you know, it was maybe like 3-4 days later and I was like, you know.
You were like, this is precious. I will wait 3 days.
3 days. I have such self-control that I waited 3 days.
This is the most amazing feeling I've ever had in my life up to this point.
Mm.
I'm going to wait 3 days just in case there's a finite amount.
So then, you know, I'm back home again. I'm probably watching something stupid on UPN in my room on my little shitty TV.
You're just watching Moesha and you're just
Moesha or no, I'm probably watching like SmackDown on UPN or something. And Trish Stratus comes on the screen, and I'm like, she was a female.
Yeah. I remember.
You remember her?
I remember.
Or, yeah, so I was like, all right, let's try it again. and so then I'm going at it, and then all of a sudden, because I didn't even know, so, like, it happened again, but then it's like, and I'm like, oh, what is that? It's like something new happens every time I do it, so I got the feeling again, but now there's this discharge. So now I'm just like,
Elaine, what is this salty discharge? Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, great. I was like, so now, is this going to happen again? So now, I've done it twice, but only once has this happened.
I just imagine you as like a scientist.
Like I thought very analytically about this.
You're like, Mom, I need some more chalkboards.
I don't have enough because I don't want to erase my first findings. I got like one of those big three-sided like boards to do like a science project. My hypothesis: will this discharge come out this time? Is going over the head better than going on the side? I don't know. So I'm like, oh great. So now I have to deal with this. And then you're like, is there?
This is insanity.
This is crazy. Every time we do this,
who can live like this?
So then, you know, you're like, all right, well, I'm going to do it a third time, which is however many days
later. I mean, you got it at this point. What? So then you were like, all right, so there might be a finite amount of this liquid in me.
So I'm going to wait another 48 hours this time, because I'm extremely impatient. I mean, I'm an American male. I mean, I don't want to wait for shit. So you do it again. And now I'm thinking, all right, What's gonna be the surprise this time? I mean, am I gonna come and an elephant's gonna bust in my kick in my door and be like, ah, surprise? I don't know.
Is this how babies are made? Am I gonna shoot a baby out?
Yeah, maybe. So
I would hope that by this point you didn't actually think that, like, you were somewhat smart enough to. No, what age is this that we're talking about?
I don't know. We're talking like 6th, 7th grade. Yeah, so.
6th, 7th grade.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, probably like 12. Yeah.
So then the next time I was like, all right, so I got to take into account the discharge. Because I'm assuming this could happen. Again, it's a 50-50 shot.
You're setting up safety protocols.
And then the third time I did it, it was exactly the same as the second time. And then for the subsequent 10,000 times I've done it since then.
It's been pretty much the same.
So, like, the first couple times it was surprising, and then once the third jerk happens, it's no longer surprising, and it just becomes part of your routine. it's something so great and so awesome that you could discover that becomes so mundane and regular.
Yeah.
You're just like, ugh. You know, and now, like, back then, I was like, oh my god, this blows my fucking mind! And then now, it's like, oh man, I can't get to sleep. Ugh, alright, well, fuck. Alright, come on.
Yeah, or you're just like, I'm running late for work. Ugh, shit, do I shave or do I jerk off?
I've been late
I guess I'll jerk off.
I was late one time getting back from a lunch break because, like, I was sitting at work. And you ever just, like, you hadn't jerked off in, like, 2 days or something? And you
know, that has never happened to me.
See, I'm at the point right now where I put minimal effort into almost everything, so even jerking off, I skip days. But then, like, once in a while, it's like, you're sitting there and you're like, fuck, I really need to get this out. The poison is building up. So I was at work and I'm sitting there and I just, like, sitting at my desk, I'm just like a rock, and I'm like, fuck. All right, so at lunchtime, I got one goal, and that's to run home, just pound it real quick, and then come back. I don't know what it was, like, what it took me a while, whatever, but I got back to work late, and I'm like running in or whatever.
What? Man, you have an hour for lunch.
I had to go home.
It's not like you live that far away, though.
Well, no, I know. I don't know. I basically, my time was, I didn't appropriate my time correctly.
You were like, look, I had to set some candles up, alright? I had to stop at the Stop and Shop, pick up some flowers for myself, make myself a nice grilled cheese, cut the crusts off, okay?
This is also a couple of years ago, so I'm trying to remember if, like, you know, maybe the Wi-Fi was really slow, or, you know, maybe this was a few years, I might not even have, like, an iPhone yet, so I had to, like, scrounge up material or something. So, you know, it wasn't like a real, like.
You were calling your mom, Mom, are my clipboards still there? I need a clipboard. I need, are the blackboards still there? It's like when they do the murder investigation.
Yeah.
That's what you were doing. You had just images of porn, and you were like, when I jerk off to this picture, I get this reaction.
Yeah. And it's got all the little red string going from picture to picture.
You have a timeline of what happened. I felt like this at this time, and this at this time.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was late coming back to work, and I run in. I'm like, oh, my God. And then, you know, there's people like, why are you late? I'm like... You know, I don't know. Yeah, I sort of lost track of time or whatever. And then, you know, inevitably there was like someone that was my friend that like, what happened? And I was like, I had to go jerk off. I mean, what do you want from me? I'm human.
Wait, could I have been that person?
Might have been.
I think I might have been.
I think I was on, me and you were on the same team at that point. So, hey, I mean, sometimes it's a necessary evil. Actually, it's always a necessary evil, but...
Mm.
What are you gonna do?
I don't know. I got nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
I don't know. Become celibate, I guess.
Not happening.
No. I don't know. We were gonna go somewhere with this whole episode. So do you want to talk about how we got to this point? Because we're hitting a year now for doing the show.
Yeah.
The 100th episode will be a little bit more of a retrospective, I suppose. But do we want to talk about how we actually got to the point where, like, hey, let's do a podcast?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you're from Quincy.
Yes.
Born here, lived here.
Yeah, but, born in Boston, lived in Quincy my whole life.
Okay.
Same, yeah. Few miles down the road.
So now you went to college in...
I went to high school here. Well, I went to high school in Boston.
We talked about your Catholic school.
Yep, Catholic school. That was the only Catholic school I went to. I went to public school before that.
Is there anything before college that leads into this, you think?
Okay. So when I was a kid, I always had kind of an interest in, like, broadcasting or doing a radio show or whatever. So, when I was a kid, I was really young. I was probably, like, 7, 8. And my grandfather had given me this, it was an all-in-one radio and TV. It was this tiny little screen. Black and white. It was terrible. You could watch, like... Sesame Street, and that was about it. But, you know...
Was it about, like, this big?
No. It was, like, this big.
Okay.
And so...
I apologize for the people that couldn't see.
Yeah,
that,
we're making hand motions here.
We're trying to adjust the size. It didn't work out, so not important.
Keith's pretending he's Italian, too, and... with the hand motions. So, what I would do... I did a little radio show.
How old were you?
I don't know, 6, 7-ish.
Okay.
I was pretty young. And what I would do is I would sit up in my room, and I had walkie-talkies, because what kid didn't have walkie-talkies? And so I would leave one downstairs in my house while my mom was going about her business or my sister was watching TV or whatever. And I would sit up in my room, and I would be right next to that stupid TV radio combination thing. And I'd be like, hey, everybody, you know, that was a great song we just listened to. You know, we're broadcasting here in Quincy, blah, 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 blah. And then, like, they'd be, you know, on the radio, and there'd be a little bumper in between songs. And then as soon as the next song would start, I would go over and I'd hold down the talk button to the speaker. And I would play music through the walkie-talkie downstairs. And then I would add my commentary in for some, I don't know.
Well,
that was my first experience in radio.
That's awesome. Now, were you trying to, like, do the little, like, fade in on the track? Like, it's this long instrumental, so you were like, hey, everybody, next track's a great one from AC/DC here.
Kind of talk over the beginning of the song a little
bit.
Yeah.
listen again tomorrow for 2 for Tuesday.
Stay away to 7 on later.
We're in the middle of a full hour of rock and roll music just with Boston needs. And then it's you do that right before Boston songs play.
Yeah, the peace of mind kicks in. I honestly don't remember anything that I said. I'm sure it was just the most retarded shit you could imagine.
Did you... Wait, now, how old were you?
Like six or seven, yeah.
When I was real young, and this is probably what got me into wanting to do something that would make people laugh, is I really like telling jokes.
Mm.
But my jokes at that point didn't make any sense. So, like, my family remembers... The one that my brother remembers that I told was when I was real little, maybe a little bit younger, like maybe like four. I would be like, I would say like, there's a spoon in a cup and, you know, the fork's on the floor or something like that. And then I would just crack up laughing. Because there was some joke in there that was funny to me.
Why would the fork be on the floor? That's so stupid.
Fucking fork. He could be in the glass with the spoon.
Well, what a fucking idiot. Who put him on the floor?
Thank you, thank you. Tip your waitress. Tip your waitresses. I mean, mom. You know?
Yeah. Tip my mother. Tip Colleen. That was a great meatloaf, mom. Yeah.
What's the deal with me being so small? I have to go to bed early.
Why do you guys get to stay up and watch Nick at Night? I like I Love Lucy, too.
Yeah, this is unfair. Am I right? Am I right, people? Right? Right? And my dad's just in the back. You suck!
Boo! Just booing a five-year-old.
He's flicking the lights. My dad's just at the... Because where he sat at the kitchen table, he could just reach behind him and
just flick.
Flick the kitchen lights. And I'm just like, all right, that's my time. Thanks, people.
Your mother pulls you off with a big fucking hook. Just throws you into bed.
But eventually I learned to actually, I guess kind of tell jokes, but... Or
at least get to the punchline.
Yeah, like, I figured out that that you had actually set something up.
Just explaining a situation wasn't good enough.
Figuring out where... Explaining where inanimate objects were wasn't enough.
Yeah.
But that was probably my earliest, like, trying to make people laugh. I never did a radio show.
Oh, the radio show was great.
And then after that, probably up until, like, high school, when I probably first listened to Obie and Anthony when they were in New York...
Mm-hmm.
That's when I realized that there was, like, a talk radio. Cosmo was making some noise. That there was, like, a talk radio thing.
Yeah.
Because before that, my parents always listened to, like, what was his name? Not Casey Kasem, but, like, the guy from the 50s. Or that played the 50s music. I want to say he sounded like the Big Bopper. He wasn't the Big Bop. No, he wasn't the Big Bop.
No, no, no. Big Bop died in the plane. American Pie. John McClane.
Yeah. Fuck. I don't know. Anyway. I realized that there was like a talk radio element to the world. And I was like, oh, I guess, like, this is a thing that people do.
When I was a kid, the big thing in Boston, if you were a white kid growing up in Boston, you listened to WBCN.
Yeah.
And that was probably my first introduction into, like, comedy radio. And O&A were on there for a while. They were also on AAF.
I think they were on there... Before they came to New York.
Yeah,
because they got fired from Boston because of the mayor prank.
Yeah, because they pulled a prank saying that Maya Menino was killed in a car accident, and people didn't find that funny for some reason. And so, yeah, they got booted from Boston and had to go down to New York, where they, and you know, ended up becoming even bigger.
Yeah.
But when they were on BCN and AAF, and then when they, there was other guys, was it Nick Carter? He did, like, an afternoon show on BCN. And Nick Carter's weird because I never knew what he looked like for the longest time. And I always just had this vision in my mind of what Nick Carter looked like. And he was actually black. He just did not sound like a black. I don't know. It always, he blew my mind when I found out Nick Carter was black.
All right.
I don't know. If you heard his voice, you'd be like, nah, he's just a stupid white guy. But he was not. So anyways, there was a lot of funny shit on those shows. And, that's probably when I first, like, got my inkling that I wanted, not wanted to, I probably never even thought that. I don't think I ever thought, oh, I want to do some sort of radio or podcast. I didn't know what a podcast was, but yeah, any sort of, like, thing like that. But I was like, this is funny. I like the idea of kind of sitting around and shooting the shit.
Yeah.
Just having people listen to it. And I you know, and from there on, whether it be in high school, into college especially, I always thought that I could do it. I was always like, that's something I can do.
Yeah.
I can have a conversation that's hopefully entertaining.
Yeah.
And record it or whatever.
And we talked about you doing, with our buddy Chris, doing the radio show in college.
Yes.
And that, I guess, that was like your first official, like, entry into anything like this.
Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely my first, like, radio-type gig. And, yeah, we started out just doing stupid rotation shows, and I'd throw my commentary in there and read the news in between songs that I didn't like, because it was all, like, indie rock, college station bullshit.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't listen to this crap.
A lot of, like, My Chemical Romance.
Yeah, Jack's Mannequin and all this shit that I'm like, I don't care. And so, you know, I would, as much as I could on a rotation show, I'd throw something in and be like, so today, 85 people killed in a plane crash. You know, just throw my sick humor in there someplace.
But that was your whole joke. 85 people killed in a plane crash.
No. But then I'd be like, yeah, but it happened in, like, you know, some shit-fuckistan country. And I'm like, oh, they're idiots. They don't know how to fly planes. You know. Now, if it happened,
plane was made of wood.
Yeah, some guy pedaling. It was like a Flintstones plane or something.
Guy stopped pedaling due to a blister. plane crash killed 85.
What a jerk-off. The plane was actually only made for 10, but you know how they pack people in those countries? It's like a fucking minivan. But, but you know. And so I didn't, you know, and then me and Chris were roommates, so he was like, yeah, no.
Is that how you met Chris? Or did you know Chris before?
I knew who Chris was. I didn't really know him until we got to the point where it's like, we're looking for roommates for my sophomore year. I was looking for a roommate, and he needed a roommate, too. And it was like, well, you two will get along. You know, Dan kind of introduced us officially. And it was like, you know, we're like, okay, well, we could be roommates. I mean, this would work out. And then we became best friends.
No, you can have more than one best friend. This isn't, you know.
This is not a competition, Keith.
This isn't sixth grade. Go on.
So, they already had a show, and they invited me on it, and it was holy shit! I'm forgetting the name right now. I can't even remember the name.
Yeah,
but it was me, it was Chris, it was Rob, and this girl Gabby that we went to school with.
You all did one radio show.
It was all on one show, and Dan was there a lot of times too.
Oh wow!
Yeah. And Dan usually played the foil to our jokes and everything. You know, kind of like normal.
Yeah.
And
that's just Dan's role in life, yeah.
Yeah. And then it grew from there into me and Chris's own show and me having a sports show and all that kind of stuff. Where I just sat around and discussed box scores, and people probably were like, this guy's a fucking loser, but it's all right.
Some people probably liked it. But so after college and after you were done with that, what did you do anything before we talked about doing the show, which I'll get to in a minute?
No.
There was just a gap. Did you always still, like, think about...
I did. Because there was a few times when I saw positions or whatnot open in radio in Boston. You know, it would be like, oh, radio station in Boston needs interns. And I always thought about it, but especially between college and the point where we started the podcast, was really like you could watch the slow death of radio.
Yeah.
And I saw that happening. I was like, I can't get into that industry. You know, that's not going to work.
It'd be too stressful because you'd also constantly be afraid of losing your job.
Right. I would be constantly worried, can I pay rent? I don't know, cuz my job is in a industry that basically doesn't even exist anymore. So yeah. I can't do that.
Yeah. I mean, basically what they would want you to do for the most part is probably just play music and not do some of the other stuff that you wanted to do.
Right, because it costs too much money to pay people, to pay personalities, because they're not bringing in any money because no one listens to the radio anymore.
Yeah.
So to pay a personality to sit there for 4 or 5 hours, it's too costly. You just get some fucking jackass intern to play your stupid music. And that's if you're not even just doing it on a fucking computer.
Yeah, I mean, even if you wanted to go into sports radio, that's tough for you because you have no connection to that world.
Right.
Like, you're not... They like to go with people that have been doing sports radio for a really long time or some kind of sports commentary, or they get people that played sports before because those people are names. All of those people are names that'll potentially draw in an audience.
It's true. And also to that effect, because I considered that before too, because I, especially baseball, but you know, other sports too. I mean, I love that shit. And I probably couldn't be in a worse place competition-wise.
Yeah.
Because there's a market for sports talk and everything, obviously. It's in Boston, but there are so many people who want to do that. I mean, the city is so sports-crazed that it's like, I mean, I would be fighting so many people to get some stupid internship that I wouldn't even get paid for.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so competitive. I mean, that's pretty much the only stations that are even mildly successful in Boston right now are sports stations. Because that's what everyone loves.
Yeah.
Other than just listening to music. So, unfortunately, it just wasn't... I just, you know, thinking logically about it, I was like, I can't do that.
Yeah. I mean, that's rough if that's... the direction that you want to go into. Even like satellite radio was supposed to be like the next big thing, but from what I've seen, like even that's rough for some people. It doesn't really get you very far. But then so even in college, like throughout that time, a lot of my interest and stuff like that was mainly, I probably had thoughts off and on thinking, like, oh, I could do that. Like, that would be a fun thing to do. But really, it was all revolved around, like, storytelling and just telling jokes. And there were always times where and this is going to sound terrible, but, like, I was on, like, I could feel that I was on and I was really funny. And, like, people were listening to me because I was funny in my jokes and the storytelling and whatever, my interaction with them.
Yeah.
And I started to pay more attention to that, and I was like, I love doing that, but, like, I don't know what I could really do about it.
Right.
And again, like, by the time I was getting out of college, like, radio was dead. I mean, ONA was off New York.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'd maybe just gone to satellite.
Yeah, if not, it was, like, within the next few months or
but year. Really the only other big name in like talk radio along the lines of the kind of stuff I would want to cover would be like Howard Stern,
right?
And then so you always stayed around here, and then I moved from, I grew up in New Jersey, which we talked about, went to school at Penn State, then I ended up coming here because I got family around here, and then we ended up working at the same place. I think you started after me, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I got moved to a different team. I was on one team with one group, and then they moved me to the group that you were in. And then I'm trying to figure out, I don't have a memory of like what our first interaction really was. I know we started talking by email.
Yeah.
I'm assuming we probably talked before that, or like I heard you say something, or like you heard me say something, because I would rant to certain people all the time there, and people thought some of my rants were hysterical, again, kind of feeding back into that, like...
Knowing you're in the zone or something.
Yeah, knowing I'm in the zone, like, I would go on a certain rant, and then all of a sudden, like, people would be laughing, and I'm like, I'm actually literally, like... extremely angry at the situation right now, but how I'm expressing it, people apparently find really funny.
Right.
So I don't know if that was like the kickoff point, but at some point you and I started communicating by email. I want to say you started it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure though.
I there was definitely a certain point when I thought to myself, I was like, I can be friends with this guy because I don't think, you know, he doesn't take himself too seriously, and I can fuck around and be funny with this guy and I think it'll be good. I never thought, you know, this guy's gonna be my best friend or anything, but I thought, you know, there was also not many guys on the team. I mean, I think at one point we were the only two guys on the whole team.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, other than us two, it was just a fucking menstruation convention. And I was like, man, I gotta be friends with this guy because who the fuck else am I gonna talk to about, you know, like, cock and weed and guy stuff? Like,
cock, weed, you know, guy stuff.
Like, what are we gonna, you know? So, I definitely, you know, I think, you know, we kinda, there was definitely a short period where we clashed a little bit, but.
But that's cause you were pushing my buttons on purpose. To test me out. Because there were times that I would talk to Rachel and be like, this guy Greg, like, I don't get him. Like, sometimes I think he's fucking with me because he says some really, like, weird fucking things that just get under my skin. But I think he's doing it on purpose.
Yeah, no, and I did do it on purpose because... And I did that with Andrew and I did that with... They hated me. When I first got to know them, they hated me. But the reason why I did it was because if I'm going to be good friends with someone, I want to be able to fuck with them. Because our group of friends, and you know this now that you've come into the fold and know me and Chris and Dan and Andy all that, the whole crew, it's like, we will just sit down. Drink beer and just shit on each other as much as possible.
Yeah.
Just push as many buttons as you can. And that's the way we are. And I would never be able to be completely close with someone if I couldn't say the worst things I can think about them, but look them in the eye while I'm doing it and say, I love you, but fuck you. You're an idiot. You know, and that's the way, like, I want to be completely honest with people. And when I started talking to you, and I was like, all right, well, I kind of like this guy because I think we've got a lot of the same interests.
Yeah.
I think we like the same movies. I think we like the same kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be friends with this guy, but I want to know if I can really be friends with this guy. So I started fucking with you, and I started pushing your buttons. And I could tell you were getting frustrated with me. And then at some point, I think you realize it, and you just let it go.
Yeah.
You just like, you know what? Fuck him. I'm just not going to let him. And I was like, you know what? That's all I wanted.
Yeah.
Don't let me bother you.
I think the first time we hung out after that, I think the first time was when we went to midnight showing of Watchmen.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about, and you were like, I have an extra ticket. Do you want to go? And I was like, oh God, I don't know if I can go at midnight. Ah, fuck it. I'll go. And we went at midnight, and that was, like, my first introduction to Dan and Andrew and that whole crew. And then we went, and then later on, we would hang out again. I think the first night was we went over to Andrew and his roommate's place.
Right.
So we hung out, I think, at their place. Or maybe we started off at your... I can't remember if we started off at your place, or I think you invited me over here, and then we went over to their place.
Yeah.
So we're hanging out there, and then you had to drive somebody home? I think...
It might have been my girlfriend.
No.
No?
I think it was Dan.
Same thing.
I think it was Dan, but you had to drive somebody home. And I was having a good time because I was getting with Andrew and his roommate and everybody else that was hanging out there. I think it was just the two of them actually at the time, though. Chris might have been there too, but he might have left. Or maybe you're driving Chris back. I don't know. But you left, and I was just like, well, I'll just hang out, because you were like, I'll just come right back. Like, we all drove together, so I gotta drive people back. So we're hanging out, and then Andrew's roommate gets a phone call or a text message or whatever that's like, hey, we're all hanging out at the...
Is it Peggy O's?
No, it was down... I don't think it was the Water Club.
Oh. Marina Bay?
Yeah.
The Water Club or the Water...
Maybe it was the Water
Club. What the fuck's the other place? Ocean Club. Whatever. Waterworks.
It was down by Marina Bay.
Something stupid to do with the ocean.
But, because he had friends that were there, and like he was like, let's go meet people there. And they were talking to you, and you were like, yeah, I'll just meet you there. And then we got there, and there was like a $5 cover or something like that. And
I think it was more than that.
I don't think it was, but I think it was like a $5 cover, at least.
Yeah.
And you were like, I don't know, I might just... not worry about it. So then I was just hanging out with them, and that was like I think I had met Andrew. I don't think I had met his roommate before that, but I had met Andrew, I think, at Watchmen.
Yeah.
But then we were just like hanging out. Had a pretty good time, had a few beers there, and then they were like, well, I guess like the people that we were supposed to meet there didn't show up. We were watching Girls Ride the Mechanical Bull that was there, that was set up by the bar, and then I think both of them tried to ride it, and the guy, like, you could see when it was the girl who was very easily moving the joystick and stuff, and then it was them, he was just like whipping it back and forth, and he was like, oh, you know, I got to do that, because I called him out on it, and I think they were trying to get me to do it, and I was like, I was the last one. I was like, no, I'm not. Because basically, I'm going to be on there for 2 seconds because he's making this crazy jerking motion with the thing. Why even bother? Like, there's this other girl who's kind of hot that wants to go on. Let's just let her go on. Maybe a tit will fall out. I don't know.
I've seen that on the Mechanical Bull. Tits falling out.
So we ended up leaving and going back to their place. And we ended up ordering food from... what's the place by work?
Cafe Pacific?
Yes.
AKA Cafe Pathetic?
Yeah, Cafe Pacific. We ordered some food from there. And to this day, Andrew will still occasionally bring up, be like, oh yeah, the time we got Cafe Pacific, that was awesome.
That's what he remembers, is the Chinese food.
But then the best part is, like a week later, because Andrew's roommate, the job that he works, he was off usually at the time on like Mondays.
Yeah.
Or he was off, like, Tuesdays or something like that. So he was, like, I always, party Monday night. And I was, like, still fairly new in town, didn't know that many people. So he was, like, we should hang out again. Like, I usually, like, do something on Mondays. Would you be down for that? And I was, like, fuck yeah. Because I'm still less than a year out of college. I'm still used to that, like, atmosphere.
Right.
So he calls me up and is, like, hey, do you want to come over? And I was, like, sure. So I come over, we hang out. The next day, you email me and you're like, hey, what'd you do last night? And I'm like, oh, I hung out with Andrew and his roommate. And you're like, wait, what?
It's like, you hung out with my friends without me.
And I think my response was like, well, I guess they're kind of our friends now.
That was probably the most jealous you've ever seen me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even say I was necessarily jealous. I was just taken aback. I was like, wait, so that's happening now?
I believe you spun around your chair and you were like, wait, what? And somebody else on the team was like, what's going on? And you were like, he's hanging out with my friends without me. Yeah. This guy over here.
This asshole.
And I was like, they invited me. What was I supposed to do?
Yeah.
It's not like I forced myself in and was like, that Greg's a real jerk, huh? We should get rid of him.
I mean, I wouldn't blame you if you did, but...
I mean, I probably did say that, but I didn't actually force you out of the group. But I ended up being accepted very, very well into this big group, which I am very thankful for to this day.
Yeah.
Because I think the whole group is around kind of what, like, the idea of our show is just sitting around and bullshitting about whatever we want to talk about.
Yeah.
And overanalyzing movies, but giving it, like, a interesting twist. Like, we're not, like, analyzing, like, oh, well, I feel like the camera moved too much during
right,
this
right,
scene.
Right, no, it's...
We're like, wait a minute, the fucking time train. How did he do a time train?
Yeah, we'll discuss the important stuff, but we do it in a funny, vulgar kind of way, where it's fun, and that's kind of what we do. I mean, really, we just... The whole... we've talked about this before, not necessarily on the show, but as our group of friends... And discuss the entire basis of our group, our big friendship here, is talking about movies and pop culture that we all love, and then just shitting on it and each other.
Shitting on it and each other, and then over time it just forms a bond, so we all just get along really well.
Right, and we just trust each other, and it's just, everyone would do anything to help each other.
Yeah.
Because we... I don't know.
It's just and we're all very upfront about, like, I think maybe it's because we're so upfront about how we feel about each other.
Yeah.
That we, like, nobody's gonna be like, well, what if he really doesn't like me? Like, what if, like, I think everybody kind of knows where they stand with everybody else, so they're just like...
Because there's nothing that we wouldn't say to each other that we would say behind their backs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anything shitty I have to say about anyone in that group, I would say right to their face.
Yeah.
I'd be like, you're a fucking idiot because you did this the other night and that was shitty. Would I say it to someone else? Maybe. I'd be like, what a fucking asshole. He took off and blah, blah,
blah. But you would say it to
their
face.
But I'd say it right to that guy's face the next time I saw him.
And no joke is really off topic either. Like and that's the thing that I've noticed too. Especially since doing the show, too, is, like, I'll be hanging out with people, and, like, when I was on the bachelor party weekend and stuff.
Yeah.
I was the one that was just coming out with, like, ridiculous stuff, and, like, there was an opening, somebody brought up somebody's mom or something like that, and that was their name, and, like, I just went for the joke.
Yeah.
I was just, like, without even thinking, I said it, and I was like... I'm sorry. Like, I like you, dude, but I had to say it. I literally could not say it.
Yep. You ever do it, and you get these people sitting there, and they're just with these blank faces. Like, what? Why did you even say that?
But the thing is, most of the time, people don't like to admit it, but everybody laughs. You make a joke that crosses some kind of boundary, and if you laugh about it, and everybody else laughs about it, then it's all okay. And they end up actually liking you more because they're like, oh, well, he's a funny guy.
Right.
Just because you went to an unexpected area. But it's also, I mean, you also kind of subconsciously feel out the group.
Right, right.
And know how far you can push it.
And that's what I do, like, anytime I meet new people. And, like, oh, you're telling jokes. Oh, you're getting to know. You feel out the boundaries. Feel, you know, you see what you can get away with. You know, but we already know in our group of friends up here... There is literally no boundary.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you can say anything, and it will be accepted as funny.
Yeah.
Most likely. So unless it's a dumb joke.
Right.
And then we'll give you
we'll give
huge
you so much
amounts
shit about
of shit
it.
For it.
But so I think that forms the trust in each other and stuff. And it, so what ended up happening, I think, was we all got really close over probably like a year and a half.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
And then I ended up moving to Pennsylvania. And then one of the times when I came back, I think we might have talked about it before. Now, you and I texted a lot back
right.
and forth, but we never actually really talked on the phone that much.
No.
I think the only time really that you called me on the phone was to deliver bad news.
Yeah, yeah.
But other than that, we just kind of texted back and forth. So... And then there was that going on, and I had been listening to, so this goes back to my story, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, specifically like Smodcast with Kevin Smith and Scott Mosier, and they had started Smodcast because they had been friends for so long, but they kind of, because of work and stuff, every time they got together, they always talked about work. So they were like, well, let's do something, like, every week to sit down and talk for, like, an hour or whatever about something that's not work-related and talk like we used to. And then that built a lot of shows that were just kind of talking like they used to and stuff. And I was like, this is the kind of stuff that this, like, me and the Boston guys talk about. Like, this is usually what our, most of our conversations revolve around, similar things.
Right.
So I think I had wanted to do one before that, and I had been talking to my fiance, but because she's a teacher, I was like, I don't want you to get in trouble for something I say.
Yeah.
And put out there. So I was like, but I would like to do one, and I'm thinking about it. And then I don't know if we talked about it, and then Dan did one episode of one of his. And Dan talked about one episode. He didn't put it on iTunes or like follow up with it really. I never got it to play online. The only way I got it to play was through you playing it on your phone when you came out to visit. And then I think that was when we started talking about it.
Yeah, it was when I drove out. I think to Pittsburgh in.
It probably was February of 2012.
Yeah.
I think it's really when we first started talking about
it. And we're like, I think that we could do this, we could do it better, and we could do it, you know, we can set a schedule.
Yeah.
And
well, because I had been listening to a lot of podcasts, and I was like, I think from what I've heard of different ones and different kinds, like, I think this is probably a good formula to do. And, I think this is the way to do it. Like, let's just set up mics and then just talk. Like, let's not plan out bits or anything or breaks in the action. Like, let's just talk like we normally do.
Yeah, why limit yourself?
You know? Yeah. And then I think we dropped out in February, and then February, I lost the job that I had at that time, and I was hanging out for a while. And we were talking about more, and then I came out here. And I think you were getting fed up with kind of what you were doing, shit like that. And I don't want to say we were both depressed, but I think we were both kind of in a rut.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're like, we need something else. So we ended up, I want to say it was May then that we were probably beginning of May that I think we actually recorded the first ones.
Well, yeah, when you visited up here.
And we came up with a name, and we decided that we're going to do it. And then once I had put everything together, because I think after our first conversation in February is when I started to put, like, the pieces together and be like, this is what we need to do.
This is how we're going to do it.
This is how we can record over Skype. Like, these are the pieces. And then we recorded beginning of May up here, which is... It's the first episode I know. That's a train.
Yeah, subway. disregard the subway.
The Avengers conversation. I don't remember what episode. It was Avengers 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Yep.
And then the Lost Old Boy episode was recorded around that time, too.
Yeah, that was one night when we were just kind
of... yeah, because we recorded a bunch of shit, and I think there's still some more that we could put out, but we talked about all that stuff, and then we just decided to start doing it, and then I think a couple weeks later, we just decided to start doing it twice a week.
Yeah.
And then we were like, I think when we decided to do twice a week was a couple weeks later because we were like, I really enjoy, like, just getting on and talking and just, like, hanging out. Because also it was a chance for us to, and especially for me, because especially at that point still, I didn't know as many people where I'm living now. So I didn't really have, like, a strong outlet, and I was unemployed, so it's not like I was talking to people at work even. So I think, like, I enjoy talking to you, and that kind of got me out of a rut a little bit. And then I think it just, you know, helped with you because it kind of gave you something more to do outside of, like, your daily...
Yeah, I mean, something to look forward to other than just fucking working all the time.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, to maintain a good friendship, despite the fact that we live, what, 500 miles apart?
Yeah, 500 plus.
So, I mean, I talk to you more than I talk to people
that I live near.
Yeah.
Which is
because we and we nice. Have this like scheduled time, and I think what's nice too is like we there are times where we will talk for like a half hour before recording about like just general shit, like shit that I don't want to say it's like personal because it makes it sound like really bad. But, like, stuff that isn't that we can't necessarily put on.
Yeah.
On there, or that's not that funny, but it gives, it's like, look, no matter what my day was, like, no matter what's kind of going on, like, I know I have somebody that will listen to me.
Yeah.
And then we will then start recording and try to make each other laugh.
Well, I mean, to be honest, there's been plenty of times when I thought it wouldn't, and sometimes. And you can attest to this, where I've texted you and been like, I am in a shitty fucking mood. I am pissed. My day has gone terribly. And you've been like, all right, well, you know, let's just see how it goes. And when I end up getting on and we start recording or whatever, I feel much better. Yeah. And maybe it's the booze, maybe it's the talking, but the combination of the two, I usually feel much better having done it. And you know what? At the end of the day, it's so nice having the product there.
Yeah.
And honestly, I feel that that's something, like, radio is pretty much dead, or, you know, especially the comedy talk radio is dead, but it's nice having the product on iTunes, or having the product there to download and shit. Not for me, but for me to be able to see it there and to see people download it.
Yeah.
It feels good having produced something. It's... Even though it obviously it exists in fucking, you know, in space someplace.
Yeah.
In the fucking cloud or whatever you want to say. It's still a more tangible piece of production than doing a radio show or even just talking.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It adds another element to it that's really, I don't know. It's beneficial in addition to being fun.
Yeah, it's just, it's fun, it's beneficial to, I think, just our minds and just our, you know, our souls, if you will.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's just nice to have that ability, but it's funny, like, you came from a very, like, I want to go into something like this, and then I was just like, well, I think I can do something like this, and then somehow we just make it work.
Yeah. No, and it again, that kind of complements, I think. In addition to our personalities, our views on like our approach to it also complements, I think.
Yeah. I think the other nice thing is with podcasts, we can literally go anywhere and do anything that we want to do, whereas in radio, we're very...
That's the thing, I can say anything I want.
Yeah.
And even, I mean, we even edit ourselves a little bit, but... Not to the extent.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, just a little. But
the biggest things that we really edit is if we're afraid somebody else might get in trouble for something that we say.
Well, yeah, no. Like, or there's mentioning names or mentioning places of business.
We'll drop out names or things like that or anything like that, and we edit out a lot of like pauses and shit. But really, we don't edit that much.
Yeah.
And it's literally just the conversations that we have while we're hanging out, having a couple beers. When I was living up here, and now we just put it online. So, yeah. I mean, that's...
I'm proud of what we've done. You know? I'm happy to say that I co-host a podcast that has gotten to 100 episodes, and that people have actually listened to other than my... fucking dog and my father.
Yeah. Yeah. And like people have listened to it. People have subscribed to it. People all around. And the biggest thing, the nicest thing is when you go on and you look at the numbers. Yeah. And like, there's a chance, let's just assume that there's a chance that everybody that listens to it in the US, which would end up literally being like everyone we know.
Yeah.
But even if that's true, there's people outside of the US. That listen, that we know aren't
yeah, we don't. We know we don't know.
So that's really cool, and just, you know, getting some feedback from people and hearing from people and getting responses on stuff that we put up on YouTube and stuff. Like, it's just, it's a nice rewarding outlet that, you know, I mean, we'll obviously keep doing it until people stop listening, but so far we just keep growing and almost doubling in size every couple months, so.
Yeah. And, you know, it doesn't even, growth is, growth's the best part. That's what I really, look at as the indicator. I mean, you know, the actual numbers, you know, that's good, but, you know, just seeing improvement on your product is...
And I also, the quality of the two has definitely improved. Like,
that's true, too.
We ourselves have gotten better.
Yeah.
Like, if you listen to the Old Boy episode...
Yeah, we like, were also really we were also shit faced.
Well, though. That's true. But if you listen to like
no, but even the yeah,
even the first episode, like you listen to it, and like we have a better sense of I think we focus more on trying to make each other laugh, but we also have a sense of trying to drive things, and like we've now seen some of the stuff that's worked.
Yeah.
So,
hey, doing 100 episodes will do that to you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're recording this before we actually do 100 episodes, but let's put it this way.
Like, ish, yeah.
It's gonna happen.
The 100th episode you'll hear pretty shortly.
Yeah, as of when we're recording this, we're only a few away, and we're recording the 100th episode tonight, so... We're pretty sure it'll happen.
Yeah, no, unless, you know...
Something tragic happens.
We could get hit by a bus or something, which...
And we are not wearing clean underwear, Mom, so I apologize.
Yeah, it's not good.
Even though I told my mom to stop listening. I was like, I'll give you a list of the clean ones.
Here's the three.
I feel like we covered our backstory fairly well. Over time, I'm sure we'll uncover more about both of us. Some secret things. One of which is going to be in the 100th episode that I'm going to tell.
Oh, okay, because I actually do it. I won't say it now.
What?
It was kind of a story, like, kind of in between... you meeting the group or whatever.
Okay, yeah. we'll save that. We'll do that another time. But live, quote unquote, from Quincy. I'm Keith Bordella.
I'm Greg DiNicola.
And check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/butyourewrong. Twitter, BYW Podcast. YouTube is BYW Podcast. Trying to put up a new video every couple weeks on there. My books, Work in Progress and Not My Problem, on Amazon. I think I'm covering everything.
Yeah?
Check us out on the iTunes, hit the subscribe button, rate us if you can, write a little review. Yeah, rate us at the minimum. If you have a little extra time, write a little review.
We understand if you don't want to write a review, but, you know, it is appreciated.
It is very much appreciated. And,
make sure you listen every Saturday and Wednesday.
Yes, we do two a week because we have no lives.
Yeah, we got nothing better to do, so neither do you, so you should fucking listen.
Remember, no regrets and drunken ramblings sometimes do create worthwhile results.
Bye, everybody.
What's the stop button?